Well, so we do an event, don't we? That's, oh, God again. Right, so let me do that. Press start on my stopwatch. Okay. I joined a gym recently. My body has started to talk to me. I've got to 50 and it's going, hello, I'm here. Pay attention to me. So for the first time in my life, I'm doing intentional exercise. It's never been something I've done. I've never been sporty. I've never been a runner. I've just been active on my feet, lucky to have a sort of decent metabolism and a sort of body that works. And I've kind of got away with it so far of not really doing anything intentional. So I've joined a gym. It's been a bit of a wake-up call. And I've learned that different bits of my body work differingly well. So I've got pretty good legs. I've got quite strong legs, bit of a dodgy left knee. Found that out when I did some star jumps and then felt it for the rest of the week. And then I have got absolutely lettuce arms. They are utterly useless. I've got no strength in my arms. I did press-ups and then was suffering for a week. Absolutely suffering. So I really need to get some strength in my upper body and enjoy the fact that my legs are quite good at the moment. So that's a great thing. So we're talking about spiritual practices as things that are intentional and that we weave into our life because it becomes like a habit-forming thing, because what it does is enable us to blossom and thrive and be as well as we can be, a bit like my gym stuff. And trying some of those practices can be a bit of a revelation and teach us things about where we're strong, where we might already have some really strong muscles, and where actually it really highlights that there's some areas where, like my lettuce arms, we're quite weak, and perhaps that's an area we can really focus on. In one of the sessions I went to, I nearly left because I just felt really overwhelmed at how useless I was at this particular class. And I was like, oh, I can't do this. I don't belong here. And the teacher, whether it was a little God moment or not, it was the one, she actually said, you belong here to everyone. And I felt quite emotional in the moment of that thing that she sort of said that. And she was just sort of saying, you know, like the fact that you showed up here is really good and you belong here. And I stayed and I've gone back to that class. I still am absolutely useless at it. But no, I shouldn't say that, should I, Chris? Stop. Yes, stop.
You were listening.
I was listening, but I took a while to catch up with what I was doing then. So, that is important when we're talking about prayer, is remembering that little message that you belong. If we're going to try to lean into some of these practices, whether it's prayer or the other ones we're talking about, that you do belong. So let's go on. What's our next one? Prayer is an umbrella term. I do lots of dementia training, and that's something that I use in that, is helping people understand that the word dementia is not one thing, that there's many, many, many conditions that it is an umbrella term for. And I think it's a helpful metaphor for prayer as well, that prayer is an umbrella term for many, many things. It might be that it's contemplative prayer, sort of creative, expressive arts, using that as prayer journaling, could be some of the ancient practices like the examen or lectio. It could be breath prayers. It could be real sort of intercession, which is where you sort of are trying to sort of just pray into something where you're desperate to see change, or, you know, really asking for God to make a difference in a situation that we're just desperate about. It could be the kind of prayer where we just sit in silence. There could be the kind of prayer where we just show up in a situation, very physical sense of just being there for somebody. Prayer can be reading scriptures. It can be all sorts of things. Prayer is this enormous spectrum, so it's an umbrella term. Next one. So I think, have we got the word prayer? Again, just we go back to that one, thank you. So have a look at that word prayer and just pause for a second and think, what does this bring up for me? What emotions does the word prayer stir up in you? Or what kind of experiences have you had with the word. It might be something, a sort of practice that's really new, and you're just like curious, and you're just interested and neutral even about, or something where there's deep disappointment or a sense of overwhelm or a sense of it's not for me, I struggle, I don't belong. Or is it something that excites you? It's something that's like, oh yeah, prayer. It's talking to my father. It's something where I am drawn. It can be all sorts of things. So that's just a point I wanted to make, that it's not this lovely, fresh, clean sheet of paper. Everyone in this room has different approach to prayer, don't we? You know, and we all carry different stories and baggage and positive stuff as well about prayer. So Jesus prayed and Jesus taught us how to pray. It's interesting that the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them about all sorts of things. Perhaps they could have said, Jesus, how did you turn that water into wine? They could have said, Jesus, how did you heal that person? Teach me how to do that. But I think the disciples who spent a huge amount of time with Jesus saw something about prayer and the way he took himself away to be with his father. And it was part of a daily routine of how Jesus did life, that they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say this. So today we're talking about prayer as part of this trellis for life, asking ourselves the question, what would it look like to be more intentional about being formed in the way of Jesus? And this prayer is a bit of a trellis for life. And there could be thousands of things. There could be thousands of things that we talk about the Lord's Prayer. It's a whole series in itself. But just one little bit of it that I wanted to highlight is the beginning. So our Father, the word used there is Abba. And that would have stood out when Jesus used that word, because Abba is the kind of love relationship with a loving, loving Father, not the kind of king, deity kind of title. You know, it's Abba is the word that Jesus used, and that's that love relationship. And then in heaven, the word uses is the kind of words of in the heavens, in the atmosphere, in the air, rather than that sort of heaven idea of miles away, God over there. Do you know? So if we just think about that little beginning. So it's Abba, that love relationship. So Abba, in the air. In the air I breathe, in the atmosphere that touches my skin, in every place I go. You can't get away, can you? That changes it, doesn't it? So that's just a little, that's where Jesus began, which I think is really important, that place of love relationship and closeness and presence and the air that I breathe in me is really good. Okay, let's go on. So this has been the thing that I feel God's talking to me about with prayer, is that the primary purpose of prayer is relationship. I've told the story before about me and my relationship with board games. And the fact that being a parent, I've had to learn the lesson. The primary purpose of playing a board game with your children is relationship, not winning. I've had to learn that. It doesn't matter if they break the rules. I think rules are there because it makes the game better. It's about relationship. And I've had to remember that many times. So the primary purpose of prayer is relationship. So when I said I'd like to do this talk, it wasn't because I am really great at praying. It's because prayer is something I struggle with. And I've learned that the person who learns most from doing a talk in church is the speaker. So it was that decision of like, right, I'll do that one because I struggle. And I just know that God is trying to win me with prayer. Do you know what I mean? Not tell me, not make me feel bad, not guilt trip me to not being a good enough Christian because I don't really sit down three times a day and pray, but win me because of relationship. So prayer is oxygen to close relationship, isn't it? Like conversation and connection and being present to people is oxygen to these relationships. It's the same with God. Okay, let's keep going. So the next one. So we talked about this umbrella term. So prayer is talking to God, talking with God, could be listening and being with God. If we've got no words, we can take other people's words. We could use the Lord's Prayer. We could take a piece of the Bible and pray. We could find a worship song. We could pick up anyone's words and just try and pray them. If we've got no words, we don't have to say any. We can just be silent. Or we can just say what's on our heart. We can just talk. And then the kind of prayer that I've never been very good at is that sense of, you know, the word abide, you know, abide in me as I abide in you, that sort of thing where you're just present to God, that people for whom the muscle is stronger because it suits their personality and they've put in that practice of being able to sit and be with God, that is definitely something I struggle with and I'm trying to do, is just the being with God. I think the bit where I'm strong is that sense of the everyday. The joke with me was I used to say, I am prayer. And there's truth in that. Like, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater of it. I do need to, like, remember that's not the only thing of prayer. But I think the thing I've been good at is that sense of just carrying God with me wherever I am. And the sense of, like, how I am every day is prayer. And I don't need to beat myself up, because my origins were sort of in sort of Catholic church, where it was about prayer being a sort of rite of passage, go and do communion, you know, or do confession, and I kind of swung right away from it. But I think I lived in that space for too long and have lost some of the sort of roots that having a rhythm of prayer might give me, so I'm trying to, like, lean back in. So that's you know, this breadth of the umbrella term. So next one. This is from the prayer course that we did a little while ago about prayer, is this idea that we are all practicing. We're all practicing. So come at it with real grace for yourself and come at it with understanding that it can just be simple and it can be utterly real for whatever's right for you. And then the keep it up bit is just remember we belong and just, you know, keep going with the thing that you think is right for you. Don't get disheartened or overwhelmed. Remember that you do belong. So how am I doing on time? I think I've done 10 minutes. My time is gone. I have done 13. Sorry. Right. I'm stopping there. What I wanted to do now was just give us the opportunity to pray. And then Andy's going to lead worship, give us a little bit of time for that. And then I've asked a few people to do a little panel that we're going to do after, and we're going to talk about what prayer looks like for us. So just as we think about this little whistle stop tour that I've just done, you can sort of put that aside and see what's right for you. And let's just close our eyes and just be as we are. Chris talks about letting go and holding on. We think about the images that we have of Abba and hold on to that image of a loving parent, that close love relationship of a loving parent gazing at the child they adore. Even if that's not our experience of our actual parents, the concept of a loving connection So thinking about God as that, as we look at God, God looking at us in love. As we gaze at God, and God gazes at us in love. Someone who was going to do it is Paulie today. Thank you, Barbara. We've got Ross, and we've got Jan, and my auntie. Right, have a seat. We've got like a little panel show. How's this? So, what I wanted to get across today is some of what I've already talked about, but the idea that prayer is not one thing, and it's this broad spectrum of life, and we're choosing as a church to think about what does it look like if we intentionally lean into some of these practices, and that will be different for all of us. And there'll be things that we can really learn from being honest, that thing about keeping it real, about how prayer shows up in our lives, and the sort of challenges and stuff around it. So what I would love to do, first of all, is for everyone just to quickly introduce yourself, because some people might not actually know, and actually Jan is a newer person, but even Barbara, who's been here forever, just in case, everyone introduce themselves.
Hi, everyone. I'm Andy. I'm Helen's husband.
That's right. Main definition. Andy's many things as well as that.
I'm Ross.
Many things, yes.
I'm Jan, and I'm Rebecca's mum, and Stefan and Emrys's mumgy.
Yeah. I'm Barbara. There we are. So each of you have got a different relationship with prayer and experience of it. So shall I start? I'll start with Andy. Let's go down the end that way. Is that... So, Andy, a question for you is, could you explain just briefly something about how prayer has first introduced in your life and then how it might have evolved a bit to where you're at today?
Well, I was dragged to church as soon as I was born, to quite a traditional church. So there, in a sense, prayer was part of the service. It was sort of read prayers, I guess, liturgy and things like that. So I think right from as early as I can remember, prayer was definitely something about communicating with a God that sits on a cloud somewhere. That was kind of my first initial thing of prayer, that it was, in a sense, communication. And then I guess journeying from all that time, just really starting to get my head around conversation. And I think I learned that quite early on in my journey, in my walk, is that prayer was this talking to God, and that God was actually someone who could speak to you, either through creation, his creation, or maybe a thought. Or, I mean, I think back in those days, it was quite black and white, as in the sense God spoke to you. But I think journeying through that, it's recognizing that a small voice that is, it's hard to explain, but a thought that pops into your mind, and exploring that in your prayer and sort of thinking and mulling on things, and then opening, and then meditation came a bit later, and thinking about verses in the Bible and being able to just sit with them and think on them and that sort of thing. Really.
So how do you pray at the moment? Like
one of the changes, I remember a couple of years ago being at a conference, 24/7 prayer, and one of the guys there sort of challenged, it was in the October, and they said, who wants to be challenged? And I was like, yeah. And the challenge was to pray three times a day, and that was sort of morning, noon, and then evening, but not for long. Like, literally, who can do 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes like at lunch, just pause, intentionally stop, pause, and sort of pray. and then at night sort of reflect on your day. Who can do that up until Christmas? And I thought, oh, I'll give that a go. So I accepted the challenge. And to be honest, that really changed my prayer life, because it becomes a habit. And then those 2 minutes become longer. You start, it's a bit like running. You get a bit addicted to it, that when you miss it, you feel that there's something missing. So you keep going back to it, and just, it just becomes quite rewarding, really.
Thank you. Okay, should we pass it down? So, Ross, what's some of your earliest memories of hearing that word prayer, or anything of interaction with prayer as a kid or as a younger adult, or was it?
I went to church when I was younger, St. Benedict's. Mm-hmm. And I could never stay awake till the end.
Yep.
So I wasn't taking any of that on it, but not many people prayed in the house. There was a spiritual side of life that my mum was always looking into, but not so much about the prayer. But I mean, I remember praying when I was in a sticky spot. Yep. At one stage, you know, and got out of that sticky spot, but then didn't link it to the prayer. And just carried on doing what I was doing, which was, yeah.
And then more recently, prayer's become part of your life. And sort of tell us a little bit about that. How does prayer look for you these days?
I thought I was doing it wrong. But I think the only way you can do it wrong is by not doing it.
At all.
At all, yeah. Three times a day. I'm never on my knees when I pray. When I wake up, I'll say the Serenity Prayer just before I open my eyes. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten it now, but I've been saying it today.
Is that the prayer?
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. And I was saying it without really getting to grips with what the words were saying, you know, but whatever's gone on the night before, whatever is ahead, the acceptance of that, it helps me to start the day well. And my gratitude throughout the day, I'm just like, thank you. Or when something doesn't go my way, or it's quite ironic, I'm like, you've got a sense of humor, man. You know, it's that communication, that relationship. And it was, you know, my prayers, it's like, I'm asking for something in my prayers, or if I'm asking, then I've got to put some action in afterwards, and or be awake to what I've asked for and where it presents itself as an answer to me. Then. Mm. And that's how my prayers are answered. Mm. Yeah,
just a link. Thanks, Ross. Okay, Jan. So people might like to hear a little bit about, you know, where your story with you've been doing in as a person with your work, and how prayer's shown up in that, maybe
in 3 minutes.
Sorry.
Okay, well, I'm going to focus, I suppose, on three things that have happened to me over the years. The first one goes back to 1977, which was when I first committed myself to the Lord. It was at university, when all sorts of things were changing. And that was the time when God finally got through to me and I made that commitment. A couple of weeks after I made that commitment, I was on the phone to my dad one evening, and he told me about one of my old teachers who was in hospital with a brain tumour and was not expected to last more than a few days. And because this was a bit of a shock, I mentioned it to a friend, and the friend said, do you know, we can pray about this. That was news to me, that we could pray about that. So I thought, okay, we'll give it a go. So we prayed. And over the next few weeks, she got better. From not having, you know, more than a few days to live, she improved sufficiently to go back to teaching. This was mind-blowing for me, as it might be for all of you. And, I mean, I should say that not everybody I've prayed for has had such a startling answer to prayer. And most of the prayers, I don't even know what the answer is or has been. So, you know, that was a one-off. But it did teach me that actually it's worth praying. give it a go and leave it with God. So I guess that was the first thing. Then a while after that, I came across those verses in 1 Thessalonians, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus. No doubt about that. Now, the giving thanks in all circumstances is hard enough, let's be fair. The pray constantly, to me, was impossible. And that has been something that has been with me over the intervening 20, 30 years. And I suppose I was nowhere near getting my head round that for most of that time. But then more recently, I got to know a little bit about Ignatian spirituality. And I think that is giving me a bit of a taste, a pointer in the right direction. Now, I think you've all done a bit of this, even though perhaps you didn't know what it was called. You've done a bit of Lectio, you've done a bit of imaginative prayer and the examen. And all of that comes together to be part of me, so that my prayer is not just sitting down, hands together, eyes closed. It's never been that, but it's miles from that now. It's that companionship with God, sitting with God, whether that's sitting in my own front room on my sofa, or whether it's sitting on the beach, or whether it's sitting in the car in a traffic jam. That companionship is there. And I think, too, what has helped me along the way are other people. So having a spiritual companion or a spiritual director, whatever you want to call them, a prayer guide perhaps, having somebody to sort of come with me on that journey, and that has helped enormously.
So somebody, you know, that could look like a friendship thing, couldn't it? That it's people that you... are open with and chat to about stuff you're praying with, or
it could be, yeah. But in my case, it hasn't been. It's been somebody who was trained as a spiritual director, yeah. And that relationship is perhaps a bit more like a counsellor, yeah. Counsellee, yeah. Relationship. So it's more, say, professional. It's, yeah. You know, that makes it sound
and too intentional.
Formal. Intentional, yeah. Definitely. But a relationship where I could say what I liked without any comeback, mm. You know. And quite often when people are looking for a spiritual director, they look for somebody miles from where they live who definitely doesn't know anybody.
Bump into in Tesco.
So that nothing can ever get back. No, I didn't go to those extremes, yeah. But, yeah. You know, it's, yeah. It's more than a friendship.
Yeah. Thank you.
Although Jen. Friends are very useful.
They are. Okay. Barbara. So how has prayer changed and evolved for you over the years? Have there been different seasons in life where prayer's been easy or hard?
Quite hard, quite honestly, I think. I spent a number of years in a church situation where women were not allowed to speak in church, and I think that had quite an effect on me as far as finding my voice is concerned and confidence. So I've had to unlearn some things. My mum died last October, and she had dementia. She was in a care home, and I prayed and prayed at times that she would just die because it was so awful. But she didn't. And in those times of struggle, you know, why is she still here? Why can't you? She just go now? Not that I wanted her to go, but I didn't want her to stay either. But in those times, there were some really special, precious moments. Like one day, I thought, shall I stay here or not stay here? She doesn't know that I'm here. And then she just sort of half opened her eyes and said, thank you for staying with me. And sometimes I think a prayer can almost be a demand, but there has to be more of a request in that and a trust that God will work it out for you, really. One of the more recent, really good prayer times is with our little swimming group coming up from Pobbles. and somebody will say a problem going on for them in their lives at the moment. And Kathy is brilliant at just saying, okay, should we pray? And, oh, okay. So we just sort of move to the side of the path, away from the dogs and everybody else, and just pray there in the outside. And I found that really helpful as well. So quite a mixture for me, but that's me.
That's everyone. I think that's what's lovely about this, is that it's acknowledging it's hard and it's different for us all. I think I relate to that. I've always struggled to pray for things. Partly there's a positive in it, because I do have this trust that God's got things, that it's in God's hands anyway. So I don't feel that I must pray for things, because it's a trust that God's got stuff. But I think I don't want to be disappointed, and I don't want to put myself in that position. So I don't pray for things. But then this sense about the purpose, you know, that I'm trying to learn, the primary purpose of prayer is relationship. So, you know, Kaz and I was talking recently about how hard it is to ask for help sometimes when you're like a strong, capable woman and all that. And I think there's a bit of that for me in God, that it's God saying, it's okay, ask me for help, you know, let me in. Let me in and walk with me. And so that's the bit of prayer that I'm trying to open myself up to, is being brave enough to sort of say what matters to me. Holding that sense of trust that God's got stuff, you know. So that's kind of how prayer looks for me at the moment. So I hope that is helpful and encouraging. I don't want anyone to leave feeling worse about prayer. Does anyone feel worse about you and prayer than you did when you came in the room? Good. So the encouragement is that prayer is there for us, and that we belong in that place. And it will look different for us all, different for different seasons and times. And I hadn't made the point, but I think it's really important to remember that it's not just individual, that it's something we can do together. So for lots of us, I'm not great at solitude stuff. There's a whole practice of solitude, that one I'm going to be listening to well, because I do struggle with it. And for some of us, praying alone is really rough and really hard, but when we sit with people, we can pray better. So if that's you, then let's invite people and pray with each other and stuff. So, yeah, there's loads more to say on it, but I hope that's been helpful. Oh, yes. So the Practicing the Way course starts next Sunday. So it's, no, one after, 2 weeks Sundays, on the 29th is the first one. So it is more of this, you know, looking each week a different topic, and it is for everyone, and you belong. If you want to come, it's for you. So if you're a bit like not sure, but you fancy it, do sign up, because it should be really, really positive and helpful. Okay, back to you, Andy, I think.